happy to be out here at Browns Training Camp 2022, the Kenny and JT Show on WHBC, and thrilled to have with us the voice of the Browns entering his 24th season on the radio. You'll hear him all season long with his new radio partners, Nathan Zagura and Gerard Cherry. It's the one, the only, Jimmy Donovan. Jimmy, how are you, my friend?
I am great. It's great to see you guys. Welcome to Berea.
Thanks for having us, and thanks for making time in your busy schedule to join us here. And not much going on this year in training camp, huh?
No, never. Minute by minute, it's really been dull.
Yeah, no question about it. And here we are on the 16th of August, and I just watched Deshaun Watson throw a touchdown pass at training camp here, but what's the latest on him? When are we going to find out whether he's been suspended for the whole year? They've adjusted it. What's the latest that you've heard?
Kenny and JT, I think everybody is just worn out by it. And I think you saw it on Friday night, I think, when they went out there. And I think it's really affected him. And I was wondering how that was going to be. And the him is Deshaun Watson. Because if you watched him during practice at all levels, OTAs, minicamp, and training camp before they went to Jacksonville, I would have never said there was anything going on in his life other than football. I mean, he was really that dialed in. But I noticed on Friday night, I mean, it was a bad, bad start. Very, very sloppy, and he missed his first throw, and then they had a couple of drop passes. The center goes down hurt, penalties, fumble. I mean, it was just awful. But it was also kind of a forecast of what he's going to face, the booing that I don't think he's ever been booed before. I really don't, whether it was at Clemson, because he was a very admired athletic, great winning quarterback in college, and then down in Houston the same way. I mean, he really put that team on his back a couple of years and got them to the playoffs. So I think, you know, that was really a revelation for him. I think people probably warned him that was going to be the way it was, but to actually experience it was tough. Now, as far as the decision's concerned, the only thing I can think of right now is that there are settlement talks going on in the case, and that maybe they're, you know, working on a possible settlement. Maybe that's why the interview on the pregame show on Friday night and showed some remorse, the first time he's really, you know, given any kind of remorse over the case. And I think that right now it seems as though, because I don't understand, Peter C. Harvey is the designee in charge of it right now. I mean, he has all the facts. He's had them now for a couple of weeks. He's had the judge's decision, Sue L. Robinson. So I would think right now that they are trying to come up with a settlement in the case.
So much for trying to expedite things. Jimmy, it's tough. You know, day 14 at training camp, we're looking at this, and I was telling Kenny this last week, and Kenny, you and I haven't worked for over a week because we had the Hall of Fame festivities, then we had our annual wish-a-thon, and we'll talk more about that in depth later. But Jim Donovan, normally right now we're talking about how many offensive linemen are we going to take into the season? And we have no idea. The strength of this team, as I look at it, is defensive secondary. And we look loaded there. But what do we do with the offensive line? We lost a center play two of the first game of the season. What do we do?
Well, they signed this guy, Ethan Posick, in the offseason. He played a lot in Seattle. He played a lot last year for them. He's a former second-round draft choice out of LSU when he went to Seattle. So he's going to get the first crack at it. I don't get the sense. I know a lot of people would say, well, what about J.C. Treader?
Right.
I mean, that's an easy phone call to make because he played here, and he really played well through his years here. I think they saw a little bit of a decline in his play last year. To the lack of a phone call saying, is it because of the NFLPA?
Right.
And he would with the Browns and rank and file of the NFL players to say, listen, don't go to OTAs. You know, it's not safe. It's not healthy yet. There have to be provisions made. It's that. I think it's the way that he played at the end of the year last year that they saw a little decline in his play. What was it way back when? The diminishing skill.
Yeah,
I think it might have been a little bit of that, and that's why they haven't called. Right now, we can post on the offensive line right now, there are guys who can play center. Michael Dunn can play center.
Okay.
Blake Hantz is really more of a center and a guard than a tackle. Chris Hubbard has played center before.
Okay.
So that's where it is right now. They lost another center yesterday.
I saw that.
The kid from Texas Tech, Dawson Deacon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's on IR.
My question is this then. When I look at the offensive line, we used to believe that the center was actually the quarterback of the offensive line. not taking that away, but the quarterback normally calls out, you know, who the Mike linebacker is and what the blocking scheme is going to be. Does the center still call out the schemes as much as maybe they used to 10, 15 years ago?
Well, I'm going to make a kind of a, I hope, a funny line here. When Johnny Manziel went in for his first start, the center called the plays. He did not know them. J.C. Treader, J.C. Treader did.
Okay.
J.C. Treader was a very, very smart guy. I mean, went to Cornell, graduated from Cornell. He, you know, he could be the the Demoris Smith of the future with the NFLPA. He did that, and he really helped out Baker Mayfield early on in his career. And I know the offensive line really, you know, Teller, Batonio, they really loved that. He really was in command of that.
Okay.
Whether or not that's still going to be the responsibilities of the center, I'm sure somewhat it will be, but I don't know if it's going to be at the same level as it was with Treader. That's Jimmy, what you lose with a guy like Treader.
Right. Jimmy Donovan, our guest here on the Kenny and JT Show. We are live from Browns training camp in Berea. You hear in the background the crowd noise. They're piping it in as the team is on the field offense.
Just like the Falcons do?
Yes, exactly, because there ain't nobody there and nobody gives a damn.
Right.
They're going offense versus defense. We're in the red zone right now. To get there, how about this? Anthony Schwartz, breaking news, actually caught a pass to get him in the red zone, and then it was an overthrow as Brissett missed a wide-open Harrison Bryant, I believe, and now they're still trying to score in the red zone and coming up short. And so with all of that just laid out for everybody, we're here today the first time for us looking at guys, and we just watched a kicking display from Cade York, who would have been good from 85 yards, I think, on one of those. And I asked you off the air, and I'll ask you on the air. He just received the Maurice Bassett Award, which is given to the top rookie in training camp every year. Is it a good thing that a kicker has been named the top rookie in training camp, Jimmy Donovan?
Well, there's a couple of ways you can look at that. I mean, you could be worried about that. But I would say this, okay? He will probably be the most important rookie as the season starts.
Well, that's a nice ball.
And I would tell you this. It was a nice ball.
Yeah.
You know, and, well, there's David Bell, the rookie from Purdue right
there. You're a guy. That's he loves David Bell in the
David
draft.
Bell. Well, it's good to see him on the field, JT.
Yeah.
You know? I would say this, Kenny, that he's probably going to be very, very important. You know how they would go for it on fourth down all the time last year?
Yeah.
I think there's going to be more of a stance that, hey, let's take the points because this guy is really good. I mean, he was a fourth-round draft choice, which is almost unheard of to draft a kicker that high in the draft. He is everything that they expected and maybe even a little bit more. He's very, very good, very confident. They're very comfortable with him, and I think it was a part of their game that they didn't feel they had in their pocket last year.
All right, there we go. Joshua Dobbs in at quarterback and just threw it 18's Bell.
David Bell.
He just threw a touchdown pass about 3 yards to David Bell in the red zone drill here.
Dobbs
so.
Played very well.
He did.
The other night. He really did.
Touchdown pass, a lot of nice touch on that ball.
Yeah.
And that shocked me, having followed him with the Steelers. He was, I mean, Mason Rudolph was bad. He was even worse, but he didn't get a lot of opportunities. Whereas here, he's battling to be maybe Brissett's backup, depending on what they decide to do, you know, once they get the official word, right, from the NFL?
Yeah,
would you
so.
Say he's the leader behind Brissett right now?
Yes, he would be the leader right now over Rosen. There's no doubt about it. They love this kid. He's a great kid, very smart kid. If the Browns have a celebrity Jeopardy team, you want him on it. I mean, he is really that smart. I mean, he's like an aerospace engineer, legitimately, coming out of Tennessee.
You know what he is? Here's why. My best friend, Mike Johansson, played basketball at Tennessee, graduated from there, and he told me, he goes, we're the only two athletes with that degree, and we have graduated. Mike works for NASA now, so
there you go.
If this doesn't work out, I got a guy for him.
Yeah. You know He'll be on Mars.
Let's hope, you know, if he plays, he's out of this world, too, all right? So Jimmy Donovan joining us here on the Kenny and JT Show.
Jimmy, tell us about Browns Training Camp Daily. How many more episodes?
We have tonight, and then we have the two shows after the practices with the Eagles. So we'll wrap up on Friday night.
Don't fight when they come to town. That's what everybody talks about when you have these practices with the other teams. Do they make too much about that, the teams getting it on?
Now, last year they had a pretty good Donnybrook with the Giants, I remember. And I can remember that Kevin was Stefanski was pretty upset about it. And I think that both coaches – but, JT, you can have all the meetings and the telephone calls you want between coaches, And Kevin's got a really good relationship with Nick Sirianni and Joe Judge, like he had last year with the Giants. But guys will be guys, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if it gets heated like that, there is a sense of camaraderie. And if you see a teammate get a cheap shot against him, maybe you want to go in and help out and answer that with an altercation. So I hope not, because that would be really bad to see a guy get hurt because of that.
Right.
Right.
What has stood out for you, Jimmy? Year number 24, and again, I went over and saw my old buddy Gerard Cherry, who's taking over on the sidelines.
Yeah, that's right.
Nathan Zagura, who's going to be up in the booth with you, taking over for Doug Deacon. Every time there was a penalty, we heard Deacon while you were doing the play ball.
There you go.
Yeah. So what has stood out in this training camp for you?
I think, and it really jumped out at me on Friday night, how deep they are. I mean, they really, for a team that didn't draft until the third round, off of one game, which was Friday night in Jacksonville, boy, the draft looked tremendous. I mean, the kid Emerson had a great play. The defensive back, MJ Emerson, amazing play. Not only that play, but he made a couple of other really good plays in the game. Jerome Ford, the running back, fifth round, I mean, out of Cincinnati. Before that, he played at Alabama. I mean, all of a sudden, it gives you pause to say, they really have too many running backs right now. They have four that are in there that can really play. And with a guy like Ford, you know, you just say, there's no way you're going to get him on the practice squad, so you're going to have to keep him. What do you do? I mean, and I know Kareem Hunt has been a little agitated early in camp. So I think all of that, their depth right now looks really good. And as JT mentioned, their depth over on the defensive side, their secondary right now really could be the best in the NFL.
Wow.
I really think it could be the best in the NFL. Their safeties, they're loaded at safety now. Delpit's back and really playing well. Ronnie Harrison is back. You know, John Johnson III is kind of going to be the lead guy there. The corners look good with Newsom and Ward. The A.J. Green, the kid they picked up a couple of years ago as an undrafted free agent from Oklahoma State. Now you throw Emerson in there. But there are some other kids that are really playing very, very well. There will be some guys that won't make this team that will make others.
Oh, yeah. You know? Absolutely. They'll get cut. Somebody will pick. They're waiting to see which guys from the secondary get cut from the Browns. What about the D tackles? That was the supposed weakness of this defense coming into camp. I know it's early still, but what have you seen so far there? Has Elliott looked better than he has in the past? Is Winfrey, you know, the rookie, stepped up? What about Tommy Togiai from Ohio State?
All three guys you mentioned, I thought, showed up well on Friday night. Elliott, this is a big year for him. This is his third year, and they've kind of paved the way, like they were doing with Nick Harris. It was Nick Harris's third year. Okay, it's time now that you go in and be the starting center. The same is true for Elliott. Came on a little bit at the end of the year last year when they were coming down the stretch and they had injuries and COVID issues, and he played better. But this is a big year for him, kind of a prove-it year for him, and he's done very, very well so far. We'll see what happens when it's for real. Togiai is a guy that I think continues to really get better and better, and they really like him a great deal. Winfrey played very well the other night. I know they were thrilled with him. He gave them something that they're really looking for. Inside pressure. Get pressure on the quarterback from the inside. Don't rely always on Garrett and Clowney or having to move Clowney inside. It will be interesting to see now Taven Bryan. He'll be number 99, the guy they brought over from Jacksonville, former first-round draft choice out of Florida that didn't pan out in Jacksonville for whatever reason, and they're hoping new scenery, new location, that he'll be okay here. So those are the things. Mm-hmm. I think right now, Kenny, they released Sheldon Day today because of injury. So I think right now they're pretty happy with what they have there and would like to develop their own players rather than having to go out and bring in somebody else. It's expensive, and they'd like to develop their own, get these guys on rookie contracts that really they have more control for a number of years.
Sounds like our baseball team, basically.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about
it. That's a good model.
It's working out well for them, right? They're in first place.
It worked for the basketball team, too.
That, too.
Maybe we're on to something.
A youth movement with all three teams in town.
Jimmy, what about Owusu-Koramoah? I know you're really high on him.
I am, yeah. He's a great player. Well, it allows them – the key for that is it allows them to play two linebackers with his speed and Jacob Phillips. That will be the key thing. If they go to three linebackers, it would be Anthony Walker, and it would be J.O.K., And it would either be
Phillips.
You know, Phillips going in there or Taki Taki.
Okay.
I mean, Taki Taki can still play very well in
They're
that position.
They're all fast, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really different. Walker's probably the most kind of, you know, veteran guy, the old-style linebacker. The other guys really go side to side. J.O.K., I had a great talk with him, JT, about a week ago when camp started, and I said, your speed is really unbelievable. And he said, my speed actually hurt me last year.
Really?
I ran pass plays.
Okay. Mm.
And he has to learn to kind of
– the old breakdown.
Pump the brakes a little bit, and you're so fast that sometimes you're running by plays. But I think last year, JT, he played a lot on his athleticism, which is off the charts, and he knows a little bit more now.
Okay.
Smart kid, really good player. I think just a tremendous upside for him.
Jimmy, you know what gets me this year in camp as opposed to last year? The expectations last year, people were talking, they're throwing around names like Super Bowl and this and that. This year, there's a different vibe. How would you tell the fans how they should feel about this team?
Well, I think that they felt last year, I think that they left with a bad taste in their mouth. They left probably a good season out on the table, okay? And yes, it was injury, and yes, we were in COVID. But still, there were a lot of winnable games that just slipped off the hook for one reason or another. Ineffective quarterback play, the offense not being what we thought it was going to be, the OBJ, you know, soap opera that went on really took a toll on the team. The defense early in the season really not knowing each other because there were so many new guys. I think this year it's you can't let that happen. You just have to win the game. It really style points are not going to probably be important. And how many balls a guy gets in a particular game, not that important. You have to play the way Nick Chubb thinks and plays.
Right.
Nick Chubb doesn't care about rushing titles. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care about how many touchdowns he gets. He cares about what that scoreboard says and that his side has more of a number than the other team. And that's the way they need to think, I think, going into the season.
And, Jimmy, safe to say, and we'll let you go, that if indeed Watson, you know, we don't know yet as the time of this interview, right? We're waiting to see.
Sure.
But if it's indefinite, out for the year with Brissett, different team than what with Watson. You'd expect Watson to win you games, make plays, whereas Brissett, it's like manage the game, don't lose it, and rely on your defense. Is that fair?
Absolutely, Kenny. I would go back to Stefanski's first year, okay, and probably the first eight games of that season. Remember, they got off to a really fast start. They lost the opener to Baltimore, but then they got on a roll. They won like four in a row. And watch how they did it. Chubb, Hunt.
Mm.
Good offensive line. Now, that offensive line, as we spoke about earlier, it's got to be healthy and intact. Manage the game, like you said. Remember, Mayfield was only throwing about 17 or 18 times early in that year, okay? It was in the second half of the season when they kind of opened it up a little bit more. This defense is better than that defense when they made the playoffs. So I think that's what it's going to be. I mean, control the game, run the football, the passing game probably, take your shots, but it's probably going to be let's move the chains with it, take what we can get, control the game that way. We'll kick well with this kid, hopefully, Cade York. I think all signs are that we'll be sound in that part. But they'll be a little bit more able to ride that defense than they were a couple of years ago.
Hey, last thing I forgot. Who's the punter? Is it
the
Borquez?
The punter is right now. There's Corey Bohorquez.
Bohorquez.
Now, Bohorquez came into the league. He's a minister in his off time. But he came into the league in New England. He's a left-footed punter.
Okay.
And, of course, New England, Bill Belichick loves left-footed punters. Right. So he was there. Then he went to Buffalo. Then he went to Green Bay. Now he's come to Cleveland, so he's got the cold weather thing down pretty bad. He'll be the guy right now that would be the punter.
All right, and he's the holder as well for
the holder, which is now I will point out to you that he was not a great holder in other stops, so they've really worked on him doing that, and Mike Prefer's been working him. They took a big loss last week losing the return guy, Jakeem Grant. The Browns have been really below average in return. I mean, they really haven't. Right. Do you realize Travis Benjamin's the last
Jackrabbit?
The last guy that returned a kick for a touchdown. And they have gone to kind of this very, very conservative approach of just catching the ball. You know, we're just going to catch it.
Okay.
As more over than trying to return it, and you got to get more out of that
than
that. They thought they had that with Grant. So we'll be back with the same cast of characters back there. Dearness Johnson, Donovan Peoples-Jones. I don't know. Delpit's in a fight to make the team right. Delpit, I'm sorry. You know, the little kid, number 25, Felton. He's in a little bit of a fight to make the team right now to get a spot. He gets hurt by a guy like Jerome Ford being so good catching the football. So the return game would probably be something that they're really, you know, may struggle with a little bit and be as conservative as they have been in the last couple of years.
Well, let's hope that, as well as the wide receivers as a unit, you know, step up with Bell, the rookie who they loved in the third round. Peoples-Jones takes a step up as the number two right now behind Cooper, and then we'll see who else, you know, rises up out of that room as well. Jimmy, we always appreciate the time you
good
make for us
to you.
On WHBC. Have a great season.
And you guys too, which kicks off this weekend, right?
Two games Thursday night. We've got Perry hosting Central, and then Friday we kick off with Cincinnati Moeller at Massillon in front of 18,000 crazies.
All right, now Jerry Faust is still not at Moeller, is he?
No, he might be hanging around Notre Dame or Akron. I don't know.
Jimmy, thanks so much.
You got it.